When a family functions together in unity, mom, dad, son, and daughter, there can be times of uproarious laughter and fun, and seasons of deep satisfaction and reward. But what happens when the idyllic family becomes not so perfect and chaos takes over? That's the question Chuck Swindoll tackles today on Insight for Living. Whether you're married, single, divorced, an active parent, or an adoring grandparent, we'll engage in a study that promises to yield practical wisdom on child rearing. Today's message is part of the classic Biblical Parenting series. And we begin with prayer.
May we bow together. This old world is many things, our Father, and we are living to see what changes can occur. Places that once were strong to preach the scriptures have become weakened because of the system of the world that has slipped in. This world is a hostile place. We hear of it every day, and we suck in our breath as we learn again of another murder, another abuse, another frightening occasion of abandonment, another auto accident that's taken the life of some precious family member. This world is a dangerous place. We realize it as we're rearing children, and we are reminded of the predators who would hurt them and take them from us. But we also acknowledge, our Father, that this is your world, and you are carrying out your purposes in it and through it. You are in sovereign control over it, in spite of the evil that exists. Our God is in the heavens. He does what he pleases. So teach us to live in the tension of an evil world, remembering that all things occur out of your plan and purpose. Though much of it doesn't make sense in this life, we realize when we are with you, it will all come together. I pray for those among us who are either themselves rebels on the run, or they have in their family one who is in that category. Speak in a very special way to those on this occasion as we learn from the truth of a story our Savior told, which is as timeless as it is true. What a stirring, stirring reminder this is, our Father, of all of us in our journey on this earth. How we can easily identify with this boy, and how great it is to witness the grace of a father to welcome him back, and not only to forgive him, but to restore him to a place of significance and dignity in the home and family. I pray for all those today who at this very moment find themselves distant from you, and I ask that you would draw them to yourself as only you can do. I pray also, O God, for every father in this place and for the role he fills, not simply in the life of his family and his children, but in his community and in this world that has lost its way. I pray that you would raise up godly men from our midst and use them in significant ways, not just fathers, but all men. And I pray that you would cause this world to realize what you can do in the life of an individual wholly dedicated to you. Speak to us in whatever area of need we may have this day, and bring encouragement and hope, especially those who are broken and bruised and lost. It is in the name of Jesus, our Savior, whom we worship today, and all God's people said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, When the Fun Stops for Parents.
When rebellion occurs, it isn't cute or humorous or just a stage. It isn't an idle matter that we cast off as, an act of mischievousness. When it reaches the place where there is no room for correction or reason or negotiation or counsel, when other children are being negatively affected by the rebel in the home, making the family miserable, it's time to release them to the consequences that will follow. That's at the heart of the story Jesus tells in the 15th chapter of Luke. If you carry a Bible with red letters, you will see all of the story is in red. Jesus is telling this story. Because there is no proper name mentioned, it may very well have been another parable, an imaginary story. On the other hand, one wonders if Jesus knew a family who has gone through this. And rather than embarrassing the family by giving names, he simply tells the story of the family. And this family is soon to be in pain because the father has to exert tough love. Here is the story, not just of a prodigal son, but of a very wise and secure father. We read of the story beginning at verse 11, where the man really has two sons. And you need to understand, ethnically and culturally, in that day, in a Jewish home, the father's inheritance would be passed along to his two sons, if there were just two, two-thirds to the older and a third to the younger. It would happen either when he retires or when the man dies. And it was possible for a father simply to act on it when neither had occurred, so that before retirement, or perhaps at a given time when the children reach a certain age, the inheritance is then given to the children. In this case, the younger son is the one who steps up and rather impudently says, in so many words, give me my inheritance now, Dad. And so, without an argument, without a sermon, we read, he divided his wealth between them. So the older son gets two-thirds, and this young rebel gets a third. The next several words intrigue me when I read, not many days later, the younger son gathered everything and went to a distant country. Before we go further, let me mention that probably it was Gentile country, because of the mention of swine later on. Swine were never found anywhere near a Jewish home. So he went a long ways away. He doesn't need his dad or his dad's friends or somebody the dad may send to spy on things in his way. He wants to get out of here. And as often follows the decision of a prodigal, he needs a few secrets that nobody else needs to know. After all, I'm old enough to handle it, and I've got the money to finance it. So he goes to a distant country, and there, Jesus says, he squandered his estate with loose living. He probably started by picking out a brand new red and gold chariot with special chrome wheels. That'll work. How about stallions to pull it, make it feel like a hot shot? And he prances his way into a distant country, and he looks the part. Before long, other people know he's got money, and he finds this real fine pad up with a nice view of the water outside. And before long, he's got his apartment full of friends that love to eat and drink and be merry, along with some women that'll do whatever he wants them to do with him. And his passions kick into high gear. His companions are fast and shallow. His appetites are clearly out of control. His money finally runs out, and his friends bail on him. The laughter fades to silence, and before long, he can't make the payments on his apartment. And life gets tough. And wouldn't you know it, a recession hits. We're familiar with those, aren't we? And in this case, it's called a famine. And we're not familiar with that. We may be someday. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to buy, even if he had the money. And he realizes for the first time that proverb his father quoted to him is true. The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13:15 and 13:18, poverty and shame will come to him who lacks discipline. All of that comes home to roost. If you've ever been there, you don't need any further explanation. Not only does he have the presence of those proverbs in his mind, he's now facing the absence of the one who had meant the most to him in his life, his father. The absence of his father is almost more than he can bear. There's an eloquent statement right here in this story. At the end of verse 14, he began to be impoverished. The Greek word means to be completely deficient, to lack, to come short of. And what made matters worse, he had no one to blame but himself. Where did that money go? That sounds like that proverb my dad used to quote to me. Riches make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Where'd all those dollars go? Where'd all those shekels go? And I'm hungry tonight. The story unfolds in such a way that we are intrigued. He went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed swine. Oh, really? You, being Gentiles, can't appreciate it. But if you're Jewish, you know exactly how degrading that job was. Knee-deep in pig slop and excrement. What an awful, awful job to go to every day along with a stomach that doesn't stop growling. The loneliness that follows every night. And I notice at the end of verse 16, after saying he would gladly have eaten what the pigs ate, but nobody gave him anything. 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 You know what else is eloquent is the absence of the father. No messages are being sent from home. No little gifts with more money. Not even spies are around to tell the father how things are going. He is on his own. He is up against it. That is exactly what he needed. Exactly what it would take. The father knew that. And here he is in this pigsty, and every night going to bed hungry. And suddenly, listen to it, a light goes on. We read of it in verse 17. He came to his senses. When I have parents come to me and tell me the tragic story of what their son or daughter is going through and their great temptation to go and relieve them. Because after all, the girl is now turned to prostitution, and the boy also is selling his body in some awful scene in the back alleys of the big city. And I've had those people come to me too. And their story would shock you. What they're willing to do just to be able to put food in their stomachs. He came to his senses. You know what that tells me? Listen closely. He's been out of his senses. I tell parents who are at wit's end, what is going on is a temporary insanity. You want to reason with your son, but there's no room to reason. You want to counsel with your daughter, but there's no ear to hear the counsel. Cynthia and I have a friend in whose life that happened, and the young woman became a prostitute in Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, before she came to an end of herself, a friend went to plead with her to come back to her husband and to her children, and she refuses. There is an insanity that accompanies this kind of lifestyle. Rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination, it is as idolatry. It captivates you. It holds you until you finally come to your senses. This boy, when he came to his senses, began to talk to himself. How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, and I'm dying here with hunger? He's remembering back. He remembers how much food was even left on the table after the meals. He remembers that the hired servants got more than he will ever get living where he's living. And the memory of all of that falls in on him, and he says, I am dying with hunger, dying with it. He is in dire straits. May I pause here and warn any parent listening right now, do not rush to their rescue. Do not go. Do not check up. Do not wait for them for Christmas. Do not celebrate the birthday and beg them to come back for it. Let them go. Let them go. And in the loneliness and ache of the hunger and the misery, they wake up. This temporary insanity, if you're not careful, will make you a little crazy. It may take your child failing in school, being expelled from school, getting arrested, spending time in a prison, living in the street of abuse and perversion. It may result in the child getting a sexually transmitted disease, or years of aloneness and attempted suicide, and you wait. And you pray that they will come to their senses. Not until the young adult hurts enough will that young man or woman come to the senses. Let them go. Leave them alone. Don't stop praying. Oh, you will weep. You will twist and turn in bed. You'll get sick. I've been there. And some of you are there. None of what I share today is theoretical. What the boy doesn't know is that the father was up day and night praying, pouring out his heart, asking God to bring his son to his senses. I learned years ago a line that I've used on occasion. Pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. Pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. The flag has been planted. The light comes on. The scene that follows is one of the great scenes of restoration. I love it. Every time I read it, it speaks to me in a fresh way. He came to his senses, verse 17, and what happens? Well, he thinks now very realistically. Life doesn't seem that much fun that far away from home. Hunger is never enjoyable. And friends like that, who needs them? And now that he's come back to his senses, verse 18, I will get up and go to my father and I will... Oh, wait, look at that. Look at that. Not, I will get up and go back to my room. Nope, it's not the room he's going back to. I'll get up and go back to my home where there's warmth in the winter and there's a cool breeze in the summer. No, I'm not going back to my home. Well, I will get up and go back to my friends, my job, neither one. I will go back to my father. I will go back to the one with whom I have that relationship. I love that. I will go back to my dad who had that talk with me those few hours before I split. I'll go back to my father. There isn't even the thought that he can't. He knows his dad. He knows his dad loves him. That love never stops, by the way. It goes on and on, even when it is spurned. Who knows how many restless nights the dad spent praying himself through the wee hours of the morning. Who knows how often he went out early in the morning in the mist of dawn and looked out from the porch at that horizon to see if there might be his boy. There are not words to describe the heartache and the tension between the love of a father and the better judgment of this wise man. So the boy says, I'll get up and go to my father. And so he practices his speech. This is what I'm going to say. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. There's shame and guilt dripping from that statement. I am so unworthy. I'm so undeserving. You don't even owe me a roof over my head. But if you will, please grant me a place back in the shed where the hired servants are. Just that. So much better than this. That's what I'll do. Verse 20. Oh, this is so good. This is why I love to preach. This is our moment right now, folks. This is the moment. So he got up and he came to his home. Nope. Came to his neighborhood. Nope. Came to his room. Nope. Came to his father. Came to his father. His father. His father. And while he was still a long way off, there he is on the porch. That's him. Look at what he does. Love it. When he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion. Look at the first response. Rather than, well, I'm going to show that whippersnapper. I'm going to put him in a corner for the next 3 years. He's going to be on probation for at least 6 months before he gets any food from my table. No. There's grace in this story.
You're listening to Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll's study in Luke 15, titled, When the Fun Stops for Parents. As Chuck said a moment ago, pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. As parents, it's a temptation to rescue the prodigal rather than waiting patiently and allowing pain to do its work. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment, so please stay with us. It's possible you're thinking about a son or daughter who's drifted far from home today, perhaps a grandchild or a niece or nephew. To receive biblical encouragement, we invite you to purchase the 12 CDs or the downloadable audio files from this classic series called Biblical Parenting. Look for these resources online at insightworld.org. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment, so please stay with us. You know, Insight for Living is made possible by men and women just like you who find value in Chuck's teaching and want to see these daily visits continue. We're always looking for tangible ways to say thank you for your gift by providing resources designed to deepen your walk with God, even if it means creating those resources from scratch. And when you include a donation of any amount today, we'll say thanks by providing an exclusive 30-day devotional based on the life of Abraham and called Faith for the Journey, Daily Meditations on Courageous Trust in God. Chuck?
Thanks, Dave. Life is a journey. And if your life is anything like mine, the journey is often a bumpy one. Between medical surprises, unwanted financial news, and other issues outside our control, the journey can feel like a roller coaster ride. When those erratic moments of turbulence arrive, wise are those who learn to relax and rest in God. He can be trusted. He can handle anything that comes our way. We just have to be willing to relinquish our problems to Him. I love the words of Psalm 91:14. Listen to these stabilizing words. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. Make no mistake, trusting God takes courage. It also takes determination. And it's easier when we do it together. So I'm inviting you to join me on a daily journey of placing your life into God's capable hands. I've written a 30-day devotional, which I've titled Faith for the Journey, Daily Meditations on Courageous Trust in God. It contains daily reflections on Abraham, a man who dared to trust God like none other. Give us a call online or write a letter today, and let's take this 30-day trip together.
On this final day in the month of March, this is the last time we'll mention this special offer. And it's yours when you give a donation to support Insight for Living. To give a donation and request the devotional Faith for the Journey, go online to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Once again, if you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Hear more biblical wisdom from Chuck Swindoll about what to do when the fun stops for parents. Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, When the Fun Stops for Parents, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.